A new report out today from the American Psychological Association shows that American teenagers are experiencing high levels of stress equal or greater than the stress adults report.
And that is cause for concern, especially because teens aren't always likely to turn to healthy methods to cope with stress. And that could set them up for some serious problems as they enter into adulthood.
Joining us now to talk about these findings and what can be done to help teens out is Catherine Nordahl, Executive Director for Professional Practice at the American Psychological Association. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Veronica. Glad to be with you today.
Well, let's start by getting our definition straight. Now, when we talk about stress, what do we mean?
Well, when we talk about stress, particularly in light of the survey that we did, we are talking about the effects on an individual, either emotionally or physically, of prolonged stressors or things in their life that may be problems for them. So stress is kind of a general term that people use. Sometimes it refers to what they're experiencing. Sometimes it refers to the things that cause stress. But in this case, we're talking about distress or stress that produces unhealthy kinds of results.
Now, your new report found that teens are experiencing, you know, pretty incredible amounts of stress when you consider that, you know, we sort of assume that adults are the ones who really have the things to worry about. What did you find about the levels that the teenagers are feeling?
Well, alarmingly, as you said, you know, teens and adults seem to be having similar experiences, and the young people, and in this case our teens, range from 12 to 17 years of age, are reporting stress levels higher, number one, higher than they think is healthy for themselves. They're reporting very high stress levels during the school year. And in fact, they report their stress level during the school year is higher than what adults typically report their own stress level to be. And they report many of the same symptoms that adults do. They may be emotional symptoms such as depression or sadness or feeling angry, feeling irritable, nervous, anxious. They might have problems with their sleep, trouble falling asleep or lying awake at night. And at least about three-quarters of the young people that we surveyed reported more than one stress symptom in the last month of the nature that I just mentioned.
Now, Catherine, does this represent a change in what teenagers used to report when it came to stress?
You know, we don't have that data, Veronica, because we've not done longitudinal data on young people. We've had longitudinal data on adults and have found that their stress levels have been pretty high but variable. We found a year or so ago some pretty high stress levels among younger children, but this is really the first time that we have surveyed teens specifically, and we're not aware of any other recent research that has targeted teens in looking at stress. So this is new data, so we really don't have any longitudinal data that we can compare it to.
Now, the teenage years are well known for being tumultuous times, you know, the hormonal soup, the hormones kicking in, and mood swings tend to be part of that. Is it fair to, you know, maybe assume that maybe teenagers are feeling stressed out because they haven't yet got the biochemical coping mechanisms that adults have?
Well, and they don't have some of the psychological coping mechanisms either, but I think the thing that's important here to remember is that even for these teens, they are reporting stress levels higher than what they themselves think would be healthy. So I think they're reporting it relative to what the way that they normally feel, which would already take into account, I mean, some of the hormonal changes and mood swings that you talk about that are a normal part of adolescence. But they're reporting stress levels above what they would consider to be normal for themselves.
Now, what does that mean for how teenagers handle that kind of stress? They're saying it's so high that it feels unhealthy to them. So what do they do to handle it?
Well, unfortunately, most of them are not doing a lot of the things that they could be doing to more effectively handle stress, which is also true of many adults. But a lot of teens use what we would refer to as sedentary or kind of inactive sorts of means of reducing stress or trying to reduce stress. Unfortunately, too many of them spend too much time, you know, in front of a screen of some sort, whether it's a television or a computer screen or an iPad or an iPhone or that sort of thing. Of those teens who do exercise, they actually do report relief from stress and that they get some benefit from that. And in fact, teens who exercise at least once a week do report an average stress level lower than teens who exercise less than that or who don't exercise at all. So we do know that is helpful. Some kind of quiet activities can be helpful, like if you're meditating or doing yoga or some of those sorts of things. But just lounging around or being a couch potato and a lot of screen time is not necessarily going to be helpful for youth.
When we talk about an unhealthy amount of stress, what constitutes an unhealthy amount?
Well, I think that's a little bit difficult to define, but I'll give it a try. From a physical standpoint, I think once an individual begins to experience changes in their sleep habits, for example, where they move from a normal sleep pattern to frequently waking up during the night or having trouble falling asleep or having trouble staying asleep, that can be a physiological disturbance that's the result of stress, which would say your body telling you something is not real healthy. Some youngsters or some adults can get very anxious and nervous feeling with stress, excessive perspiration, feeling a rapid heartbeat, that sort of thing. That can be a sign of unhealthy stress when so many hormones are sort of getting dumped into your bloodstream because you're under extreme stress. Changes in eating habits can be a problem. And one thing we know about teens is that they frequently will skip a meal as a result of stress, as adults do as well. But unfortunately for teens, it typically tends to be the first meal of the day. We all know that teenagers have trouble getting up in the morning. They have a little bit different biological clock. So they get up later. They would prefer to get up later, and then they rush out the door to school, oftentimes with no breakfast. And so it's really kind of a double whammy then. If they're not sleeping well, they don't get the nutrition they need for their brain to get fired up to do what it needs to do to help them learn in school. It can just have a snowballing kind of effect if their stress is not under control.
So are there long-term health implications for people who are feeling stressed? Now you said 12 to 17 years old. Does that go on to have an impact later on into adulthood?
Well, if the stress isn't dealt with, it certainly will have an impact, Veronica, into adulthood. We know that most chronic illnesses have a very large stress component and a large emotional component. So, for example, one of the reasons that we were very interested in surveying teens this year is we've been looking at some longitudinal data that has some pretty alarming results in terms of the increase in obesity in children and teens, as well as more young people developing type 2 diabetes, which is the result of unhealthy lifestyle kinds of choices, both from a recreational perspective and from a nutritional perspective. And so we know the longer that your body is subjected to stress, the more impact it has on your body. For example, typically when someone is under a lot of stress, their blood pressure is elevated. When their blood pressure is elevated, it means that your heart is pushing more blood through your vessels at a faster speed and with more pressure, which means it begins to wear down on those blood vessels in your body, and that's the kind of thing that causes or contributes to cardiovascular disease. There are hormones that get dumped into the body when we are extremely stressed, and some of those can trigger some of the kinds of changes that create diabetes. So unmanaged or poorly managed stress absolutely can lead to chronic illness, which can take a huge toll, over the course of one's lifetime.
You know, there were all those, movies back in the 60s and songs about the best years of your life, your teenage years, your high school years. What do you think has changed?
That's a really good question. In fact, I was talking with a health reporter who said something similar to that earlier today. It was like, I only remember I didn't have too many things to worry about when I was a teenager. And it seems like teens today do have a lot more to be concerned about or worried about. The teens in our survey reported their highest levels of stress during the school year and generally reported that school-related issues were the major stressor in their life. Performing during the school year, I think concern about getting into the college of their choice, how many AP classes do I need to take, how many extracurricular things do I need to do, lots of pressure to sort of fill up the dance card, so to speak, both with academic credentials as well as with extracurricular kinds of credentials that are relied upon by colleges to make decisions about who gets in and who doesn't get in. There's a lot more emphasis now, I think, on young people taking AP courses, you know, to be able to get into the better schools, and those certainly a few decades ago were not all that important. So I think school is one thing, and those kinds of decisions about what I'm going to do when I grow up, so to speak. We also know that another source of stress for a lot of young people has been what I call kind of the trickle-down effect of the economy over the last several years on their families, on their family incomes. Maybe a parent has lost a job or had hours cut back, or that sort of thing. And so these economic, financial concerns and worries, and that's the big worry for adults, is money, finances, and job security. And those things play out at home, in the home environment. And kids are very good at picking up on their parents' stress levels, even when parents don't necessarily talk about those things. And then they sometimes internalize that worry themselves and may be concerned about dad lost his job, how are we going to pay for me to go to college? So I think it's a cumulative kind of thing for young people.
And another thing that has to do with school is the social scene at school. And these days we have social media. There is Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and all kinds of things like that. So do you think, a factor in why teens are more stressed out now?
Well, I think that the whole social media scene certainly does contribute to teen stress. I was in clinical practice for a number of years before I came to APA, and I saw a lot of adolescents in my clinical practice and heard horror stories from some about the impact of social media, something that was tweeted, a picture that went out that shouldn't have gone out, comments that were made, just a whole set of social circumstances that really can negatively impact teens, and cyberbullying can be another thing that has a negative impact. So it's not infrequent to see teens who present in clinical practice have problems with depression and anxiety related to things that are happening in that social media sphere, either through Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn, not LinkedIn so much, but Pinterest and some of the other social media outlets that young people are very, very invested in these days. And in addition to what may negatively happen in that regard, I think another stressor for all of us, adults and young people, is the absolutely overwhelming amount of information that comes into our lives every day, whether it's on our BlackBerry, our iPhone, whether it's tweeting, whether it's our email, whether it's just being on the internet. We are just bombarded with much, much more information than folks used to be bombarded with. And if you don't find a way regularly to unplug from some of that, it can really take its toll after a while.
We're talking right now with Catherine Nordahl from the American Psychological Association about the high levels of stress that teenagers are reporting. We're talking 12 to 17-year-olds. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you the parent of a teen who's stressed out? Are you a teen who's stressed out? Do you have a sense of where the stress is coming from and how to fight it? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Catherine Nordahl from the American Psychological Association about the high levels of stress that teenagers are reporting, 12 to 17-year-olds. A new study from the APA shows teens experiencing stress on par or greater than adults. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Why do you think teenagers today are so stressed out? Are you a parent of a teen who has experienced high stress levels? And where do you think it's coming from in our society? What's causing it? And how are you trying to help? And what do you think we as a society could do to help stressed out teenagers? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we go to the phones right now. We have Briar on the phone from Tomahawk. Hi there.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just trying to inquire on ways to cope with stress, and you know, the old myth that smoking relieves stress and different ways to deal with it, like alcohol, drinking, you know, bad type of ways. So
some healthy ways you're looking for.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. And Catherine, what would you say to that for someone who's looking not to fall back on things that might be hurtful to the health? What are things that are positive?
Well, one thing that we do know, Veronica, is that exercise, even moderate amounts of exercise, and you don't have to be, a real gym-type person to get benefit, but moderate amounts of walking, even, 3 10-minute episodes of some pretty brisk walking a day can really help people to deal with stress. We know that sleep, and there's been a lot of research done recently about sleep, and sleep is being realized as much more important, I think, than we thought it was before. It's very restorative. We know that adults need to get a good 8 hours of sleep a night. People who get more hours of sleep tend to do better. Certainly nutrition is important. I think social support systems are very important in helping to manage stress. If you have things that you want to do but you find it difficult to do, like exercising or other habits you want to change, if it's stopping smoking or cutting back on your drinking, it's always helpful to have a buddy or some sort of support system that can help you do that. For people who tend to be religious, interestingly, people who value church and religious services, regardless of denomination, report that it's very effective for them, getting a massage, meditating, doing yoga. Those all seem to be pretty effective for folks. So I think there's no one size fits all. There are lots of different things that people can do depending on physical limitations or personal preferences and that sort of thing. But one thing I would say is don't try to go it alone. It's always helpful to have a good friend or family member that can help encourage you in developing some better habits.
All right. Well, let's go to another caller now. Josh joins us from Kewaunee. Hi, Josh.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Uh-huh. Sure. What do you think?
From firsthand experience, I've taken a couple of years off of after high school to kind of do some maturing and really find out what I am as a person, and I think a lot of the stress stems from the societal implications that we have to know what we want to do with the rest of our lives. And with the information overload that we have today, like there's so many avenues that we can explore. And I think just for me personally, it's daunting to say the least.
So there's almost too many options out there for people and they get overwhelmed.
Oh, essentially. Yeah. I mean, plus like you were referring to the social media, there's more people that we interact with. So obviously the negativity can spread just as quickly or quicker than the positives can. So.
All right. Thanks a lot, Josh. And Catherine, do you think, just kind of to bounce off of Josh's comment, do you think that unplugging can help?
Absolutely. And I think Josh raised a couple of good points. Kudos to him for being willing to take off a couple of years after high school to figure out what he wanted to do with his life. I think one of the ironies for young adults is that we expect young people to make major, major life decisions at the very beginning of their adulthood. And I'm talking about a decision about college, a decision about career, in many cases, the decision about a partner or having a family. All of these things that we expect young people to do at a relatively early age compared to the length of time that they have to live. And the idea that at 18 or 19 or 21, I should know what I want to do with the rest of my life is actually a pretty unrealistic expectation, I think. In Europe, but in Europe there's a kind of a custom in some countries. They call it the gap year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the year after young people finish high school and they go and do a year of service somewhere. It may be a Peace Corps kind of thing. In this country, it could be doing AmeriCorps or some of these other volunteer kinds of things. But it really gives young people a way to kind of get out on their own for a little bit, to kind of test the waters, see what the world is like, get some new experiences, and gives them some time to let everything that they got from high school kind of sink in and maybe help them arrive at some better decisions. Josh was absolutely right about the negative goes viral much more quickly than the positive. That's the way we are. We always say bad news sells news. And so when it comes to the social media kinds of things, if you compliment somebody for something they said or did at school, that probably doesn't go very far. If you've got a tidbit of juicy gossip about somebody, that's sensational, it does make the rounds very, very quickly and can be very damaging.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Josh. And we're talking right now with Catherine Nordahl from the American Psychological Association about a new report showing that teenagers are reporting incredibly high amounts of stress that is on par with the levels adults report, and even higher than that, unhealthy levels of stress. And we're wondering why that is. If you're a teenager, someone who's recently come through the teen years, if you're a parent dealing with a stressed out high schooler, let us know what you think, where the stress is coming from, and why you think it's happening. 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And Catherine, parents who are living with a teen who's stressed out like this, someone who's experiencing these unhealthy levels, they want to help. Parents often do. Is there an optimal level of involvement, though? How much should a parent get involved in helping their child manage stress?
Well, I think if the first thing a parent can do or needs to do, I think, if they think that their child or teen is not handling stress very well, they need to do a check on themselves and see whether or not they're providing a very good model for how to deal appropriately with stress. You know, if a parent comes home from work and is stressed out and is, you know, yelling at the wife and kicking the dog and goes to the refrigerator and pops a cold one, that's not a very good model to give to your child when they come home from school and they're upset and they throw a fit and you want to punish them. So children, learn what they live. So I think it's incumbent on adults, one, to set a good model, to help provide some structure, to help provide some avenues for some work-life balance, to provide opportunities for exercise or other things that are activities that the young person enjoys, to provide a home where a child can get adequate rest and have good nutrition. I think parents need to stay plugged in with their kids, and I don't mean in an overly controlling or dominating kind of way, but one of the things that we discovered in our stress survey a couple of years ago is that parents are not near as plugged in with their kids as they sometimes think, and you've got to have good communication with your family members from early on, and I think good communication, open communication, a willingness to hear what your teen has to say, a willingness to their ideas and being open to their thinking goes a long way in helping to mitigate stress.
Let's get another caller in on this. Joe is with us from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm curious. I grew up in the 60s, and my aspects of society and all were filtered through my parents and all. And I wonder if technology is bypassing that function of the family and friends, and allowing children today to access the raw data of society. And that's what's causing some of this problem.
So you mean they're reading things that are upsetting and just living at a pace that's too fast?
Yeah, that. And they're basically assimilating all these different attitudes instead of having the family, the father, the mother, the church, whatever, involved in how they assimilate these different aspects of growing up.
Okay, interesting point, Joe. And Catherine, maybe the filters are not in place anymore. What do you think?
Well, there are not as many of them. I think Joe does raise a good point, and that is again, back to that information overload thing. I believe that not only teens, but even younger than teens have the potential to be exposed to all kinds of ideas and thoughts and values and from all over the world, literally now, because of the internet. So there's certainly a lot more exposure to things, maybe to some things younger, at an age younger than they're able to really comprehend them. A lot of information overload. And again, I think what I was hearing from Joe is maybe some concern about whether or not the parental and family values, are being absorbed by the child versus, we know when kids get to be when young people get to be teens, that their peer group becomes a very, very important source of information, values, feedback, et cetera. And I think with all of the technology now, a lot of that outside influence that the parents used to not have to deal with as much until their children were teenagers, those influences are having an effect at a much earlier age. And it's very hard with all of the different forms of information that are floating around out there for parents to really be able to keep a pretty good handle on that. I think one way to do it is to have some reasonable expectations about how much or how little you allow your child or your teenager to be plugged in. You need to have some downtime, some technology-free time probably, and you know, time to have some relationships with people on a literally a face-to-face, one-on-one kind of basis, as opposed to a social network that maybe is primarily virtual.
Catherine, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for having us. And if you would like to point your listeners, Veronica, if they go to www.stressinamerica.org, there's a lot of information there that is available for them on our website. It's the American Psychological Association website, and we also have a help center on the website with lots of tip sheets and fact sheets for kids and teens and parents for dealing with stress and other kinds of problems.
All right, gotcha. Stressinamerica.org. Catherine Nordahl is the Executive Director for Professional Practice at the American Psychological Association.